Blog Talk Radio.
You know what gang violence is? Mostly, and the people don't want you to hear this, somebody shoots your family member. So of course you retaliate. You know what I mean? Same thing the U.S. does, except nobody even shot their family members. You know, somebody bombed a school and all these people get killed, so the United States feel like, ooh, that's messed up. We got to go show them who's the real killers. This country was built on gangs. You know, I think this country still is run on gangs. Republicans, Democrats, the police department, the FBI, the CIA, those are gangs. You know what I mean? The correctional officers. I had a correctional officer tell me straight up, we the biggest gang in New York State. Straight up.
Introduce a drug called crack to a ghetto team. Got along for born niggas now. Playin' what it be like. When will niggas see they got us leading with three strikes? Can't seem to focus, hopeless. With violent thoughts I wrote this. Got the devil petrified. Hot from my hope is broken. And so I learn to earn my currency in overtime. Affiliated, clearly click a military mind. May God forgive us, over dwell inside of paradise. Thugged out and drug dealers from the womb to the block. My live mind got me surviving five rounds. My 45 got me fortified with live rounds. When shit kick, we block hit. Or I drop stick, all hell, I don't bail. Wrath, let's do chocolate. Forever ghetto, necessary, picture food stamp. Outlaw thug niggas, never left the food
camp. I'm a real live shit, from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to block to back.
DJ
Black.
From
my soldiers to death, from my soldiers to death. When I fuck my soldiers to death, from my soldiers to death. We got the real live shit, from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to block to back. From my soldiers to death, from my soldiers to death. When I fuck my soldiers to death, from my soldiers to death.
Now I was born as a rebel, making trouble for the devil. Take this gangbang shit to a whole nother level. Can you feel me now? Armies in every city, definition of power. Play it, are you ready? See the war is the prophecy, survival is the strategy. Rest in peace to my comrades, that's the seat. Organize the streets in time, yeah, any devil petrified of a nigga in his right mind. And tell us that we hopeless and hellbound. It's for the brothers and penitentiary jail them. I got you in my heart till the day I die. Think of the damage we can do if we wasn't high. Can you picture me low? It's the thug rap. Political contracts and bloodbath. From a solution core up in the rockets, though they got you. I never let them stop me. The struggle continues.
Now, if we do want to live a thug life and a gangster life and all of that, okay. So stop being cowards and let's have a revolution. But we don't want to do that. Dudes just want to live a character. They want to be cartoons. But if they really wanted to do something that tough, all right, let's start our own country. Let's start a revolution. Let's get out of here. Let's do something.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson,
sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see to that. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the line. Revolutionary greetings. Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Blue Money Secure, where our goals are fivefold. Well, I'm about to explain, I'm about to give you the goals and also our manifestation behind them. Our first goal, to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners, meaning to cultivate the consciousness necessary to transform themselves and their community. Our student must first be able to read and comprehend what they are reading. Our curriculum will focus on basic literacy and vocabulary building. Two, to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. It is our assessment that a firm grip grasp of our history and culture provide the necessary foundation to overcome the essentials of self-hate and white supremacy orientation provided in Western institutions. If our students understand who they are, where they came from, and the truth of how the world we inhabit came into being, they will no longer be content to accept the prescribed role of oppressed man and woman, but instead live to their true heritage and purpose. Three, to transform the criminal mentality into a new African mentality. The origin and root of our natural oppression is not so much the structure of the capitalist society as it is our irrational response to contradictions. Engaging in the culture of criminality introduced to our people on these U.S. shores is a form of genocidal orientation with a genocidal intent. In the context of our relationship with the U.S. productive system, our curriculum introduces an alternative consciousness, one that allows our students to not only see the contradiction inherent in the criminal mentality, but to abandon it for the new African mentality. Four, to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of our new African communities. The consciousness and attitude of our people is a reflection of their conditions. Once sufficiently educated and developed, our students in conjunction with our faculty will implement the initiatives in our communities, which will be the foundation for new institutions capable of feeding, clothing, housing, educating, and defending our new African communities. These institutions will serve as the basis for rebuilding and stabilizing new African communities consistent with our material need for self-sufficiency, self-defense, and self-determination. Five, to prepare new African prisoners for release and reducing recidivism among our people. Our stated aim of transferring the prison system across the new African diaspora into the largest university on earth has a functional component. GJU students will be instilled with the tools to effectively leave prison with both a purpose and the means to fulfill that purpose in the community-based institution we create. New African prisoners will be armed with the tools to get out, stay out, and influence the very culture in their community. Where the school to poverty prison pipeline currently flowing is closed off at its source, our communities. And recidivism is effectively diminished. Before I bring in our guest tonight, I go some events that happened in history during this week. Okay. In February 28, 1870, Wyatt Outlaw, a new African leader of the Union League in Albany County, North Carolina, was lynched. In 1920, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, founder of Associated Publishers. 1946, a race riot occurred in Columbia, Tennessee. Two were killed and 10 wounded. In 1965, Jimmie Lee Jackson, civil rights activist, died of injuries reportedly inflicted by officers in Marion, Alabama. In 1966, Andrew Brimer, appointed first new African governor of the Federal Reserve Bank. Okay. In 2012, Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old new African boy, is killed in Sanford, Florida. Police arrest shooter George Zimmerman only after national outcry against claim the Stand Your Ground law barred his prosecution. February 27, 1869, Congress refuses to seat John Willis Menard of Louisiana, the first new African man elected to the House of Representatives. 1872, Charlotte E. Ray became the first new African lawyer. She was admitted to practice on April 23rd. Also on February 27th, New African Revolutionary Nationalist Soon Daughter was born. In 1960, police arrested some 100 students at Nashville sit-in demonstration. In 1973, in South Dakota, the Logan Seward and American Indian Movement seized town on Wounded Knee. In 1989, in Caracas of Venezuela, the popular revolt against neoliberal policies. On February 28, 1776. Gerald Washington answered Phyllis Wheatley's letter. 1947, a race riot occurred in John F. True Homes, Detroit, Michigan. A mob of more than 1,000 white people rise outside a public housing project in Detroit to prevent new African families from moving in. Also on February 28th, former Ardell 11 member and former New African POW, Addis Bell Bob was born. In 1964, Carl T. Rowan succeeded Edward Morrow as director of the U.S. Information Agency. On today's date, March the 1st, 1841, Blanche Kelso Bruce, the first New African to serve a full-time United States, was born a slave in Prince Edward County, Virginia. 1871, J. Milton Turner, named minister to Liberia, and became the first New African diplomat accredited to an African country. James W. Mason was named minister in March 1870, but never traveled to his post. 1875, Congress passed the Civil Rights Bill, 1875, required equal rights and equal treatment to in public conveyances, theaters, and other places of public amusement. 1934, Dr. Bobby Wright was born. He's a New African scholar. He wrote extensively on violent behavior of Europeans toward New Africans. In 1947, Jorge Che Nieves, Attica brother, were born. Also on this date, Jeremiah Allah of Georgia University were born. In 1954, Puerto Rican nationalists attacked U.S. Congress. On March 2nd, 1867, Howard University, Washington, D.C. was founded. 1867, also, New African voter in municipal election, Alexandria, Virginia, for perhaps the first time in the South, the election commission refused to count the 1,400 votes, and military officials suspended to count the 1,400 votes, and military officials suspended local election pending clarification of the state's clarification of the status of the freedmen. 1885, George W. Williams, minister, lawyer, and historian, named minister to Haiti. The appointment was vacated by the new administration. In 1966, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah arrives in Guyana. March 3rd, Thomas Jennings is the first New African to be granted a patent in 1821 for dry cleaning process. 1819, Congress created a federal program to civilize Native Americans. 1865, Congress established Bureau of Refugees, Freedmen and Abandoned Lands, the Freedmen's Bureau, to aid white refugees and former slaves. 1865, also, the Freedmen's Savings and Trust Bank, headquartered in the District of Columbia, chartered by government with business confined to New Africans. On March the 4th, 1861, in his inaugural address, President Abraham Lincoln endorsed a proposed constitutional amendment that would have guaranteed slavery in America forever and said the administration posed no threat to the interests of Southern slave owners. Frederick Douglass and other abolitionists criticized the speech. 1865, Lincoln delivered his much-praised second inaugural address, but did not discuss his Reconstruction plan and did not mention New African suffrage or equal rights. Good as self-serving theology, it was a plea for leniency for Confederates and a continuation of white supremacy under another name. 1877, Garrett Morgan, inventor of the first automatic three-way traffic light, was born. In 1901, the term of George H. White, last New African post-Reconstruction congressman, ended at noon. In 1908, Dr. T.R.M. Howard, outspoken New African activist, self-defense advocate, surgeon, businessman, and mentor for future New African politician, was born in Maryland, Kentucky. In 1921, while walking down a Georgia road, a New African man named William Anderson is shot and killed by a mob of white people who later admit they mistook him for someone else. You know, those are events that happened in history during the week, but we know, of course, it's many more that pertain to our New African history and our struggle. You know, I want to thank everybody who joined our broadcast in 2014. Thank you for educating yourself in the community, you know, and I appreciate everyone. You know, on tonight in the show, we'll welcome on the group MCE. I'm going to open up the Brothers Line at this time. So they can, all of them greet us. Open all the brother lines up. Okay. Let's see. Brother Fed, your line is open. Brother, who is here? Brother Magnum, your line is open. I saw the other brother, he dropped off. Freeland Revolution, how y'all brothers doing tonight?
Hey, peace, brother. How you doing tonight?
Streets, brother. I'm strong, brother. How about yourself? I'm strong, brother.
Wow, you.
Freeland, brother. It's Brother Obafemi, man.
Freeland, brother. How you doing? Body me necessary, brother. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, brother.
Now, first, I'd like to say I want to thank you, our brother, for coming to your broadcast. Shout out to understand. I thank you for the work you're doing in the past, present, and future, right? First off, want y'all to tell the brother a little about yourself, who y'all are, before we get into the meat of this, man, you know? Tell the brother about y'all, so y'all can take turns, you know what I'm saying? How y'all choose fit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm
Freeland Revolution. Brother Fed Adam. Here in Time Love, been here for 20 years, by the way, of Chicago, Illinois. And, yeah.
Okay, so I'm Obafemi, Brother Obafemi. Some folks call me Brother OB. Pine Bluff, Arkansas, born and raised. Father, artist. Man, artists in many ways, agriculturalist, healer, new author, community organizer, anything to help get our people liberation, man. You know, I got my own lane, but I'm willing to help in any way that I can. So that's what I'm here for.
Yes, sir. True indeed. You know, it's always good to utilize the arts to reach the people on various levels, especially when it comes to propagation and education, right? You know, and I'm always influenced by the aspect of music that considers a positive education to the mind and master of the people, which is a good thing, right? Tell me, how did y'all come together? How did y'all come together as a group? You know what I'm saying? What were the catalysts that brought y'all together? How did y'all meet each other?
So I jump in on this. Myself and Fed, we probably met about 2004, 2005, somewhere around that. I was producing. So I made beats. I was doing, you know, I was still rapping, but I was making beats real heavy during this time period. And through a mutual friend, said that I made beats. And so we kind of hooked up like that. He came and bought some beats from me and ended up using some of those beats on his first project. And but I think he was doing his solo thing. I was in another group, but we just kind of chopped it up. And I heard his solo project, and it kind of inspired me to just, man, this is kind of what I need to be talking about in my music, because you know it had a lot more substance than what I was doing at the time. You know, I wasn't as consciously aware at that time either, but I was in that direction, but I wasn't necessarily putting it all in my music. So when I heard what he was doing with his music, I'm like, man, you know, we kind of went through some other stuff, and we worked on a project called Grown Folks Music, and that's kind of like the first project that we did some music together in a collective group. But today, yep, we kind of jumped to we formed our first group. It was called M&C, so it was just Magnum and Fed. So I was going by the rap name Magnum, and he was Fed, so it was M&C. So anything you want to add to that, though, bro?
it's been a lot of growth. You know, the first solo album he's talking about was called Freedom the Greatest Lie Ever Told, and I was on there talking about the Illuminati and Black Love, you know, And it was just, I was, what, 20? 24? 23, something like that. It's just been a lot of growth with the music and just growing up. Like you said, we fathers, artists, you know, we in the community. So from 24 to, I'm 43 now. It's been a lot of growth, brother. We got to start somewhere, though.
Okay. You know, what would you define your music as? You know what I'm saying? What would you define? What would you categorize your music as? And what is the actual purpose of your music? What do you intend to do with your music? What you trying to, who you trying to reach, or what's going on with that in regards to the situation?
Yeah, we reaching our people, black people, and you know, we call our music liberation music. You know what I'm saying? You know, the slogan is black love equals black power. And I know if we don't have that love for ourselves and that love for our people, we can't get nothing across to them if we don't share that mutual love.
Yeah, and I just add on to that, man. You know, I say, you know, I make music for people who had already in the game, really. Like, I want all of my people to embrace it, but I know that ain't going to happen. But so I'm definitely trying to create music for brothers and sisters who are already actively engaged in this struggle to motivation. Like, you know, just to use a more common artist, like, you know, Jeezy, Young Jeezy made a song called Thug Motivation, you know, series and stuff like this. So I'm like, he was making music for the thugs while they in the trap to keep them in that mindset of, you know, get your money while you doing what you do. So I'm like, well, we making liberation music for people who are already in the liberation fight. Now, brothers and sisters who ain't in it, hear it and are inspired to get involved, then so be it. But, you know, I'm really pushing for my brothers and sisters who are already in the fight, who already understand what's going on, you know, this is what you need to be bumping. This is what you need to be listening to. You know what I'm saying? This is to help you keep that fire burning. You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, that's kind of where I'm kicking it from.
And to piggyback on that too, man, you know, a lot of youth around here hear our music and they say, yo, that's what we need to hear all the time. You know, so they kind of, you know, fall in line with our music and say, so that's positive, you know what I'm saying? They like it. So it's for the youth as well. You know, we got sons who look up to us and, you know, see what we're doing. They want to emulate us too.
Indeed, true indeed. You know, in regards to that, who are some of the people that inspire you, and why did they inspire you in regards to your music, the liberation? So forth and so on. Who are some of the people that inspire y'all, and why did they inspire you?
I mean, my community inspired me. Like, you know, being from where I'm from, like, I'm in a majority black town, so you know, it's a rich history here. That's part of the inspiration. But as far as like artists, I mean, yeah, anything from Marvin Gaye to Bob Marley to Fela Kuti to, you know, X-Clan. And even, you know, like UGK inspired me. You know, Boogie Down Productions, Ghetto Boys, like people who made music that, like, lasted the test of time, The Temptations, Stevie Wonder, like these artists, I call what we do soul music. Because it's music from the soul. We just happen to do music in the hip-hop genre, but it's soul music is music that comes from the soul of black people, the essence of who we are. So we just use hip-hop as that's the genre of music that we're doing. But, you know, with Ian, the group, like, he adds the singing and all the melody and stuff that what we do in our music is soul music. That's, you know, so to me, reggae is soul music. Jazz is soul music, you know. And if the hip-hop has the consciousness in it, it's soul music too. So you can go ahead, bro.
Now, I was going to say, man, it's, you know, music has been a voice for us for years and decades, you know what I'm saying? And from jazz to blues to, like you said, soul music. Hip-hop is just another voice that adds on to that struggle that we already been going through. You know what I'm saying? So we got to use all these mediums to, you know, get to our people, because these are the mediums that we always use, whether it came from the drums to, you know, our voice has always been an instrument, you know what I'm saying, for our people.
True indeed, you know. You said your music is liberation music, right? What do you actually mean by that? And how can your music liberate somebody? Is it liberating their body, their mind, or what are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
I'm saying as far as like liberating the mind, because what we listen to, what we see, we take it in every single day. And it's like the more you can take in of something, the more it feeds into your consciousness. And that's what we're doing and what we plan to keep doing with our music. So we never make money doing this. It's not about the money. You know what I'm saying? It's about feeding our people. You know what I'm saying? The type of music that will motivate them, like you said, man, to feel good about yourself, love yourself, get up to want to liberate yourself. You know?
Indeed.
And not knocking any other rap or, you know, any other music being played, but, you know, I mean, all of it has its place, but like I said, we're just trying to get our people, you know what I'm saying, to see what it is we're putting in the music for.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead, brother.
Let me just say this. Is when it comes to liberation music, the dominant music in this country right now is rap, and I would say one of the most dominant music forms across the world right now. But there is a definite effort to utilize our music as a weapon against our community. It affects other communities different than it affects ours. And so what I see is our music is being used as a tool to arrest us, to enslave our minds, to keep us in a certain field, of thinking, acting, belief, all of this. So when we say liberation music, we're saying we're trying to free you from those chains of what the I hate using the word mainstream, but for lack of better terms, what mainstream pushing to the masses of our people to be socialized to say this is acceptable. When you get up and turn the radio on, if you driving in your car to drop your child off, you turn on the radio, and you hearing degrading stuff about you, your woman, or whatever, like, and nobody bats an eye. Nobody, like, this is commonplace. You know what I'm saying? We're in a society, so we're saying liberation. Like, we're trying to help you to break free from things, thinking you have to be latched onto this and like what they feed you, because what they feed us is killing us.
True indeed. Would you consider your music, your art, to be RBG music? If so, explain it as well.
So we definitely rocking with the RBG. RBG is something we've been. I would say aligned with for some time now. So we Arkansas RBG is something that we pushed, but RBG within itself, just learning about the principles of what race first is, what the Honorable Marcus Garvey left for us, the blueprint that he laid out, as well as many other Pan-Africanists such as Alexander Cromwell, and Martin Delaney, you know, Kwame Nkrumah. I would definitely say that our music is along that lines of RBG. Like, yeah, I would definitely say we are RBG for sure.
How exactly does your music and art tie in with community development? You know what I'm saying? How it relate to community development? Or does it even relate to community development?
Well, it definitely ties in because not only do we do the music, but like we got what is called GSC, Community Garden. And so we do music that even refers to that. So by people seeing us in the garden and as far as the community goes, they come to, they 360 around and see that we do music as well. So all those things kind of tie in with each other, the community, the garden, the music. Not just one face, but, you know, two or three faces is how we, you know, we show up in the community as far as that. But everything that we're doing reflects in our music as well.
Yeah, just to add on to that, like, we, you know, we kind of started doing community cleanups before we even started doing the garden. So making our presence visible in the community with, so many of our people are unaware. So it's like somebody got to be visible. So I don't, if I got to be the one who they see with the flag visible, then that's what I got to be. But, you know, we out in the community doing community cleanups. You know, we've taught classes in the community, done workshops in the community. I mean, from health and wellness, herbs, foraging classes, information about hip-hop classes. We've been doing movie nights in the community, so that's just a list of some of the things that we've been doing for over a decade now in the community. So we are definitely the music is just the music is the fun part. We really in the community working. You know what I'm saying? So the music is. That's the fun part, to get on stage or whatever, and you know. But our music has a purpose. So what we talk about in the music is just a reflection of how we live in our lives. But we ain't trying to gas you up about some fictitious stuff that we ain't got or that we ain't doing or we ain't about. Like, you know, I'm a man of my word, so I'm a stand on what I'm talking about in my music.
No doubt. You know, y'all mentioned community garden. How important is it for people that engage community garden? How important is it, and what type of benefit does it have for the people?
Man, for one, growing your own food. You know, eating from something that you know you took time to put work into. And you get a workout of, you know, in the community, you know, and people see us over there at the garden and they stop and, you know, they ask, can they help or ask, how can they get started? And, man, it's a plus, man. You know, people that live around the garden, they look out for the garden, you know, make sure, you know, nothing happens to them. Man, it's very much a plus for us needed. And, I came from Chicago, so I didn't see none of that, you know. I came down here, and my brother OB and my other brother Freddie, you know, and my brother E, man, they kind of showed me about, you know, how to garden and, you know, different things. I saw the importance of it. That's why I'm able to say this right here, you know, because, you know, once I saw it was a need and it was a, you know, a benefit, I just immerse myself into it, so I know other people are saying that I do.
Yeah, we, you know, back in 2000, back in 2017, on Facebook, I started a challenge called a Grow Some Challenge. And, you know, it was a social media challenge, but it was something to get to the minds of our people to say, hey, listen, it don't matter where you stand at, what type of living arrangement you got, you can grow something if you want to, whether it's in a cup,
yeah,
or a shoe, or a pot,
yeah,
on your balcony, in a crate, if grass can grow through concrete, you can grow something that you can use for food or medicine. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So we've gotten, I mean, you know, the response has been amazing of people inboxing me or tagging me, showing me, hey, I started my first plant this year. I bought some house plants for my house, or I grew some herbs this year. We grew some potatoes or tomatoes. You know, it's like I've seen the impact that this has made with just showing, hey, we just some brothers in the community just like you is. I ain't some special on high, like trying to be above my people. Like, I'm one of my people, and I'm saying I can do this. And some of us working full-time jobs and all of this too, taking care of family, kids, and all of this, and we still able to do this work. Yo, you can get involved too. You know what I'm saying? So we also created many different ways for people to get involved. If you can't necessarily get out and grow, like how you can help in the process by donating supplies or giving us your scrap waste, so we can make compost. And, you know, so we just created a whole little atmosphere behind this initiative that's just saying, hey, you know, if everybody do a little bit, nobody's got to do a whole lot. It's room for everybody to get involved. So.
Sure indeed, sure indeed. Do y'all offer classes or teaching any kind of instructionals in regard to how to plant and what to plant during certain seasons and, you know, and the sisters in regard to planting itself, the work behind the ethics? Do y'all actually teach that or offer classes to the people?
Hey,
yes,
brother, you just did a class, brother.
Yes, we actually just did a class with some teenagers about composting. But, I mean, we offer classes from to germinating seeds, to companion planting, composting, how to harvest, how to water your plants, how to forage. You know, I mean, foraging is just, you know, walking in nature and finding things that are, being able to identify edible and medicinal plants, you know, raised bed construction, you know, home garden planting. I just became a member of the Jefferson County Master Gardens Program last year. So, you know, we definitely offer information classes because, you know, like I tell people, I say, I'm not here to maintain your garden. I want to show you how you can do this for yourself, for your family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we definitely offer classes, workshops, you know, some virtual, some in person. So,
yeah. Now, you mentioned compost. For the people who don't know or understand what it is, tell us exactly what that is.
So, composting is basically you are recreating the process of what nature does. So compost is in the word decompose or decomposition. We say anything that lives that dies is going to break down. So composting is us recreating that process in nature by taking plant material, food scraps, you know, green leaves, cut grass, brown leaves, straw, you know, newspaper clippings, paper shreds, ashes, eggshells, coffee grounds, old tea bag that people don't use, like any of those things we can combine to produce a sort of a soil. A compost is like a slow release fertilizer for your plants. So that's basically what composting is. You're basically making your own soil.
Okay. Okay. You know, in regard to your music, right, how important is it to implement political education in your music? How important is it as a teaching tool?
It's very important because a lot of children that listen to our music, they go through the public school system, who doesn't tell them a lot about themselves, of course, you know, so. Like I said, music is a very instrumental tool, and like your brother said, it can be also used as a weapon. But it's a tool that a lot of us listen to every single day. So I've learned, like on my other end, not to knock music, but I have the power in myself to listen to what I feel to listen to. So I know what to take in, what affects them. So it's very important as far as the education goes. And another thing is, with like hip hop is the latest form of music, period. So we just try to tie in certain things that people wouldn't know, like beginners of music, like especially like people listen to beats a lot. So they don't understand that some of these beats were recreated back in the 60s to the 70s to the 80s, you know. It's just putting those names in your music, you know, saying of all our ancestors, those who, you know, were part of music. But just doing those type of things that can educate, you know, people in the music as well. But I know with us, just trying to just keep putting it out here. So, you know, you can see there's a different type of music, a different type of, you know, avenue you can go on to what you're listening to, you know.
And I just add, you know, as an educator, I worked 6 years in the public school system as a teacher assistant, and I worked 6 years as a lead instructor for an after-school program. And just, you know, understanding, like, early childhood development and the learning styles and patterns of our people, we are very rhythmic people. And so, like, you know, you learn your ABCs through a song. A, B, C, D, you know, it got a swing to it. That's a song. It's rhythm. So it's very crucial that we put the ingredients, the nutrients into the music. We got to put it to rhythm. So if we add the right nutrients and minerals in the music, they can absorb it. You know what I'm saying? They're going to absorb it a little better because it got that rhythm. It got that bounce to it. You can groove to it. So not only do they it pleasing their ears because how it sounds, they get some food that they can truly get some vitamins and minerals from. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, as being an educator, I know and have seen and witnessed I've witnessed, like I would print out lyrics from some of the hip hop that I grew up on, and I would share it with some of my students and just have them, you know, read it, and, you know, just ask them what it means, and you know, I would kind of counter it with some of the lyrics of songs that's popular today. I'm like, okay, what, you know, what's being talked about? And you know what I'm saying? So doing some of this stuff with them, it just helps me to say, hey, I know I need to add this. I need to add these ingredients to this music because otherwise a lot of our children, they going to miss it because where else can they go to get it? You know, I know me, and I probably ain't speaking for myself, but I learned a whole lot. Like I'm born in 79, so I learned a lot about, you know, different communities across the United States. I learned a lot of things listening to hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I heard KRS-One Edutainment. That came out when I was like maybe 10. I remember that song he came out called Beef. What a Relief. And he's talking about, he mentioned Elijah Muhammad book, How to Eat to Live. Like, that stuck in my brain from 11 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my first reference to this. So hip-hop has that power to really push, you know what I'm saying, knowledge and information into it if it's digestible. So I that's what we try to do with our music, is definitely put some vital ingredients in that music that people will remember, and they may later on come back and be like, man, I heard this somewhere. And they do some little extra research, you know what I'm saying? If they're curious, it can spark something in them. Yeah. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Indeed. You know, when you hear the name, when y'all hear the name George Jackson, what do y'all think? What did it come to your mind when you hear the name George Jackson? Y'all both can answer that.
For me, political prisoner. When it comes to my mind.
Warrior, relentless. You know, his spirit and fight lives on. You know, yeah, the type of man that he was and demonstrated the principles that he stood for, the, you know, being behind the wall didn't stop him from being the type of man that he was and what he stood for. Matter of fact, it made him even stronger in it. And you know, that's the type of manhood that are the type of manhood that needs to be promoted in our community. Yes. This is one of the reasons why they keep this brother's story, you know, under wraps. We keep getting you know, and no disrespect to Martin Luther King, but we're going to keep getting an updated movie about Martin Luther King every 10 to 15 years. But you know what I'm saying? The movie that came out about George Jackson, it didn't hit the big screen the same way. You know, so this brother's story really needs to be told. His books need to be promoted even more, you know, from Blood in My Eye to, you know, the Soledad Brothers, like, I mean, this brother got a nice body of work, and his life and legacy is definitely something to promote and us to continue doing the work. So,
okay, true indeed. Brother said you mentioned political prisoner, right? What do you mean by that? As a political prisoner, what do you mean by that for the people who are listening?
Prisoner, man, but because we got so many from like George Jackson and Tupac Shakur, you know what I'm saying? It's a brother unjustly put in prison, and that's, to me, that's what a political prisoner is to me. You know what I'm saying? Like the brother said, warrior, soldier, you know, when it comes down to, I'll be saying, political prisoners, our people don't understand, you know what I'm saying, the importance of these men that we talk about, like George Jackson and the Tupac Shakur, you know, they don't understand, like I said, like the timing, you know, they put a movie out about Martin Luther King all the time. You know, it's force fed to you. So that's when we got to come in with our narratives and push these, you know, push these political prisoners that, you know, we have. Because there's so many of them, man, that you can't even name, you know. And so many going, you know, every single day. But yeah, like you said, political prisoners to me is warriors, man, soldiers that have been locked behind these bars because this system to get rid of.
No, the system filled up for the same reason that the framework y'all brought in was propagation. No propagation,
yes.
You know, like J. Edgar Hoover said in the COINTELPRO program, he said to fear the black messiah, fear of leadership. Somebody who had a potential to change a particular consciousness, particular environment over individuals so they can be self-determined and self-sufficient in regard to what they're doing, base and master builders. You know, that's always a threat. Leadership is always a threat. People can think for themselves and think outside of the system and think in a way that's communalistic or a socialistic or a cooperative, economical, you know, a nation builder. That's always a threat to the power that be, or all a threat to the state, so to speak, right? So a lot of times, you know, when we look at our origin, a new African people, so I want to say 1619 or 1526, whatever you refer to as, right? But I'm going to say 1619. When we came over in China, we came over to these shores and chained the shackles, we were political property. We were human chattel slaves. We were political prisoners then. We were prisoner of the politics that bind us, which is capitalism and imperialism, especially when the plans they had for us already, you know, to be slaves. They want to try to say you turn this to servitude, which is some chaos, which is some BS in all actuality, you know. But we look at those situations, you know, we all get persecuted because of our particular beliefs. From Martin Garvey, we're talking about Martin Garvey, even Martin Luther King, you know, people were persecuted for their political beliefs and what they believe in, what they were pushing, you know, in all actuality. And politics affects everyone. It's a politics to that community, guard. It's a politics to your music. It's a politics to the radio broadcast. It's politics to everything. I just wanted to put that little piece out there, you know, as it's very interesting looking at certain things in regard to what we're doing, right?
Yeah, everything is political. There's nothing that we do that's not political. You know, from our food choices to what we choose to wear to where we choose to travel to what we watch to what we listen to. Everything is political, and it can serve our interests or it's going to serve our enemies' interests. I mean, that's where it's at. Like we behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
You know, we really have to be consciously aware of what we do and how we move, and you know what we support. So.
Sure, indeed. You know, in regards to the politics, what are y'all politics individually? Are you nationalists? Or are you pan-Africans? Are you new African nationalists? Or are you scientific socialists? What are y'all politics individually, as individuals, so to speak? What are y'all politics, your ideology, so to speak, as individuals?
I was a pan-African, you know. You know, you said it's free to land. You know, and it started I know it's a struggle to start with our freeing our minds first. You know what I'm saying? Once you get free the mind, you get free the body. You know, I always think of something that Pac said, you know, you got to help yourself so you can help others, help your people. That's what I said early on, man. It's been a struggle, you know what I'm saying, to build myself from here to here, to understand, yo, you doing the music, but like you said earlier, what is the purpose of why you do the music? You know, what is the purpose of why you do a community garden? You know, what is the purpose of why you get up? You know, talk to your kids, you know, what is your purpose? What is your purpose for them? You know, so. Yeah, that's my ideology, man.
Race
first.
Okay.
I would say I'm pan-African. To me, pan-African, to me, a true pan-African is a nationalist. So, you know, I'm for our people. For one. I would say I'm a black nationalist as well. I think that our people, you know, the people who are called African Americans or New Africans, we are our own nation. We have our own nation. we have to recognize ourselves as a nation and act as a nation. Two, as far as the global African family, we need true sovereignty. We need to be able to build and network and form a level of cooperation to be able to support one another across the board, you know, when it comes to, you know, like Dr. Wilson left us the 9 areas of people activity. So, you know, so across the board, you know, if we got, you know, I gave one of my brothers, I ain't going to say too much, but I was talking to one of my brothers in Texas, and I was like, man, you know, we got, I think there's a Nigerian or in Ghana, they're making their own vehicle. And I said, man, think about it. We got black car lots here. We got black-owned car lots in the United States. I said, why don't we start getting some cars or seeing how we can make it to where we can get cars made by our brothers and sisters on the continent and sell at our car lots here. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's pan-Africanism, too, in a certain degree. Like, we do stuff on a small scale. Like, I'm getting black soap from them on the continent, and we got a warehouse in Atlanta that's making it. Then we getting distribution into different regions of the you know, wherever we at. So, and vice versa. Like, we got things here, human resources that the continent needs, and places in the Caribbean that our brothers and sisters need. Like, we've been exposed to so much of the beast here in the United States. There's a lot that we can offer our brothers and sisters in other areas. So I think it takes dialogue like this, as well as, you know, using different platforms to be able to communicate effectively to figure out, you know, how we need to move. Like my brother said, it's race first for me as well. Like, we need to be pushing our race first in every way, shape, form possible. So.
True indeed. Understand. Brother, before you got an African name. What does your name mean in particular? Where did it come from?
So my name Obafemi, I've had since about 2007. I joined an African centered study group about that time, 2007, 2008, and one of the tenets of being a part of the group was you needed to have an African name. So I did some research and stuff like this, and, you know, Obafemi kind of spoke to me. But Obafemi is a Obafemi means Oba means king. So Obafemi is a Nigerian name. Obafemi means the king loves me or the king favors me. My last name is Kinsey A. Delele. So Kinsey A. Delele is from the people of the Congo. And that's more so like my clan name. It means the people of the fish. So my people, from my mother's side, like, my grandfather was a commercial fisherman. I had uncles who owned fish markets, fishermen, hunters. So as far as my root can trace back to the Congo, like, this is the name that was, this is the clan name that I come from, Kinsey A. Delele, the people of the fish. So.
Okay. Okay, brother said, you got an African name?
I don't have one at this moment. I haven't looked into African names. I'm still going by my name, which said Cedric means chieftain, you know. And No, I don't have an African name. Just as yet, I'm sure it's probably something I'll pursue in the future.
Okay. Okay. You know, but Brother Fumi, I also understand that you're a country citizen of Republic of Africa. What actually drew you to the Republic of Africa? What drew you to be a country citizen of the African independent? What drew you to that? What was it? What brought you into the situation?
To me, it's kind of like connecting the dots. You know, I wanted to be part of something that's bigger than myself, for one, and then doing some of the research on the history of why the Republic of New Africa formed, and some of those people who were instrumental in coming to the table. You know, it's a lot of heavy hitters, and you know, it's to me, it's like I wanted to be part of this nation, this movement that has this legacy that's grounded in nationalism, like free the land. That's free the land to me represents so many things, from, you know, the basis of liberation and freedom is land. You know what I'm saying? Our great ancestor Malcolm X told us this. So, you know, without land, like, how can you have a nation? You know, understanding that majority of our people are still in these areas, in the Southeast five southern states, it just made sense. Like, I'm right here in Arkansas, so I'm very close to the national territory. So it just made sense for me to see how I can, what I bring can help the nation, and you know, to help to make the nation even stronger. I'm just like, I want to be a part of this and do my part in helping to build our nation, secure our nation, to fight for our nation. So. That's what led me to take this path.
Okay, appreciate it. You know, I got one or two more questions. I'm gonna open the line up for the callers. How long have y'all been performing? And also, where can you find your music at?
Well, how long, brother?
Mm-hmm. As MCE, we've been performing since. We've been performing over a decade. I've been recording music for 2 decades now. So I'm 20 years in the game. But as far as like I said, MCE, we've been a group since about 2008, 2009. I think our first project dropped in 2010. So we've been performing since then. Our last performance was in Holly Springs, Mississippi. We performed for the MLK, holiday down in Holly Springs. So. We really trying to make it out to Nation Day out here in South Carolina this year. So,
yes sir, yes sir, that's the business.
Yes indeed. So,
business.
As far as finding out music, we on all streaming platforms: iTunes, Apple Music, iHeartRadio. If all of the popular outlets to get music. You can find our music streaming. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube at MCE Soul Music. That's SOLMUZIK. That's MCESOLMUZIK. That's on YouTube. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So you can check out our videos, interviews, Our podcast, we do a podcast as well called Soul Speak Sundays. We've been doing that for a couple of years now. So, go ahead, bro.
Just to piggyback on that, you know, we got the individual fights we have. Like I shoot video. I'm a videographer as well as doing the music. So you can catch my eyes on YouTube and Instagram at CEDADAMZ. That's CEDAMAZ. And, you know, I shoot a lot of our videos for MCE. So we'll have some of those on our channel and on my channel as well.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good information. You know, at the end of the time, I want to open up the line for a couple of callers. If you have any comment, question, or statement, please press one at the time. Open the line up. At the time to open up the line for callers. If you have any comment, statements, or line, please press one. Okay. I have a caller. 901-609. You have any question, comment, statement, please do see the time. Your line is open. 901-609. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Breda Land, how y'all doing tonight? This is Sister Mother Queen.
Y'all have had
a great show tonight. How y'all doing tonight?
Thank you, sister.
I'm well. Strong, sister.
Breda Land, what's going on, sister?
Not much, man. I have enjoyed the show. I have only one question, and, you know, I asked y'all this question before. I'm seeing the detriment of our communities, you know, and we got to get this traditional black family back, you know, back. We got to get traditional black family back. Everywhere you look, they got these mixed couple, gay couple, this, that, and the other, right? So my thing is, how are we going to get our children to understand the importance of the traditional black family, because they are so, like y'all say, indoctrinated with this, you know, with these distractions and this mess? How are we going to flip this around? Some of the things y'all think we need to be working on. And
I know as far as like how I work my family, I show them black love because black family, you know, and, If you love yourself and understand who you are as a black man and black woman, which I have four children, and they'll understand how important it is in their relationship to, you know, advocate that. So it's just an everyday teaching, you know, to give them an everyday understanding. Because even in my opinion, when I'm teaching, I'm also still teaching myself. You know what I'm saying? So I'm advocating, you know, black love every single day. You know, no matter where it is, you know, me and my wife, we sit down together with them and you know, talk to them, and they give us feedback on it. So they have an understanding of, you know, what that means as far as, like, you know, relationship goes.
I'll just add on a little bit. If we want traditional black families again, then men have to do traditional things. They have to demonstrate that in the home and in the community. Men have to teach boys. Men have to gather boys and work with boys. Girls have to be work together with women, and women have to do traditional things if we want to see the traditional black family come back together. For example, you know, like we work in the garden. So
yeah,
if we work in the garden, we gonna make the call. Hey, I'm bringing my boys. He bringing his boys. Freddie bring his boys. E bring his boys. So now it's we got 4 or 5 men out here who we getting our hands dirty, putting in this work. But now we got 11 young people out here at the same time. So they gonna get some time to themselves. They get some time working with us. We partner them up. We, you know what I'm saying? We may split them up. Hey, I'm gonna send my boy over there to work with Sid, and he send one of his sons to work with Sid, and Sid send, you know, so So, you know, we talking, we teaching at the same time, we demonstrating, we having these conversations. So, you know, just to give an example, like, these are the type of things, that the type of interactions that we need in our community to facilitate, to understand, like, this is what manhood look like. These are the type of things, you know what I'm saying, that we need in order to heal, to grow, to protect and defend our community. These are the type of things that we need to see going on. So if we want that the traditional nuclear family back, we have to do those traditional roles of what was expect, those expectations, you know what I'm saying? So that's my take on it.
Yeah, and just to piggyback, just say this, children are very visible, so it's a must. They have to see that. They have to see that.
So Samelli, got anything else? Anything that add to that? Anything got to say?
No, that's it. I'm sorry, I was on speaker. I appreciate that. I say, y'all, like I said, great show. Thank you all for the work that you all are doing. And thank you, Brother Bomani, Mr. Bomani, for the work that you all are doing. And I pretty lame.
Sure did. Thank you for the work you're doing, Sister Deborah Rinse. I didn't mean this here. Okay. We have another caller, 901-292. You have any question, comment, or statements, please do so at the time. Your line is open, 901-292. Your line is open. Go ahead. You got any question, comment, or statements, please do so at the time.
Free the land, comrade brothers, Minister Bomani. Sister Queen. Yes, my Sister Queen just opened up a whole door that I want to go further into. So how are you brothers doing this evening?
I'm strong.
Okay, beautiful.
Doing well.
Oh, I love hearing about your journey and all the initiatives that you've started and all the things that you're doing as men in Arkansas. Question, you answered Melly Queen about, you know, making sure that you have young brothers around, that they see you working, they see you, because we have that old saying, monkey see, monkey do. We need, our community needs to see the new African black family existing, working, being successful. So I really appreciated your comments, brothers. Let me ask you a question. Have either one of you gone through a rites of passage program for yourselves as adults?
No, I haven't. I've never been through a rites of passage program. I wouldn't say a formal rites of passage, no. I would say that I've been through I'm a student of a study group we've been pretty hands on. So I say study group loosely, but because we got information to study and stuff like this, but we do, like, we're doing masonry work, carpentry work, electrical work, roofing, plumbing work. Just learning about some of these basic skills. These are the type of things that, you know, my study group that I've been a part of has helped me to get a grasp of, you know. So. But no,
yeah,
I haven't been like an African-centered type of rites of passage program, no.
Sounds like a rites of passage to me.
Absolutely, because you made some statements about, you know, making sure that our young men who are getting ready to be potential fathers get the training. As you said, they need to be trained in many, many, many different avenues that we're finding, because we have to be nation builders, brothers. So would you would you be against brothers coming together and taking themselves through a rites of passage program as adults so that they can formulate or begin to create these rites of passages for younger men, younger boys, because once young men start becoming 12, 13, going on up to 18, that's that critical time that they need to be around some elder brothers, they need to be around some big brothers so that they can, some of the things that exhibit new African black manhood are addressed, and that's from the healing to the releasing to their charges, et cetera, et cetera.
I would definitely be for it.
We talked about it too. Me and Sid talked about this before too.
Yeah, we talked about this. I said, I came way to Chicago, so like I said earlier, like with the garden and all that, that's something I came across with these brothers, you know, these group of brothers I have right here. So I'm definitely for, you know, a program just like that. You know, growing up, I didn't see that. I didn't see men building houses, fixing cars, you know, that type of thing, you know, saying, like you said, the plumbing and all that. I didn't get to see all that until later on in my life, so I understand how important that is now.
Absolutely.
So I'm definitely.
Yeah, I agree with you, because we're trying to do the same thing with mature women so that we can reestablish our rites of passage for little sisters. So we're, you know, it's still the same, you know, it's just different sides of the same coin. One of the things that we're finding out is because we do not have the community involvement, because we can't talk about the nuclear family, because the nuclear family is just man, woman, and child, but there's the community, there's your clans that create the community, that create the nation. So we need to teach each other what that looks like. How do we rebuild our communities so that we're safe, so that there's activity going on, there's wealth being established, and that is the work. That's the work. As you brothers are saying, you're farming, you're building, you're creating music, you're involved in schools, all of it, all of the levels that we need to reestablish our new African communities. And it's not easy, because you may be one little, two little, three little, five little shining stars in the midst of multitudes who are not. Is that what you experience?
True indeed.
Yeah, true indeed.
Listened to Baba Baruti one day, and he said, you know, I contacted him. I said, you know, Baba, I'm tired. You know, he said, you got to recognize though. He said, as a warrior, you doing the work of probably 10 regular men. You know what I'm saying? You got men sitting around watching you work. Well, they ain't men. They male. They grown, but they not doing what you're doing. And so you putting in a lot of work. So yes, you gonna feel fatigued, but you got to, you know, take some time to recharge your batteries and stuff so you can stay out on the battlefield. But yeah, that's definitely how I feel sometimes. Like we few far and in between. But, you know, just the few of us, when we come together, we can make a major impact. So, you know, that's going to keep me on the battlefield, just knowing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I really, really appreciate that. So one of the things that we've discovered as new Africans is that because our children are not being told about themselves, they're not being introduced to what we call vocational training. It's as if the people who built this country are now without many of the skills. Because since we're doing our research, we are being told that within 6 months after emancipation, 1863, we had thriving townships that had really everything that a town would need. And after that 6 months, when Field Order Number 15 was rebuked or revoked, and President Lincoln, of course, was assassinated, and that initiative to give our people the acreage and the protection that they needed to become so-called citizens in this country just left, and we were now under a different kind of attack. What do you feel about trying to develop African-centered schools and to actually call on our school systems to bring the vocational trainings back? Because since we integrated, I feel like that was taken away deliberately. I yield.
Okay, so I definitely think that we as a community have a strong responsibility in providing the type of education that we need for, you know, the goal is nation building. Being that so many of us have been through the public food system, you know, there's no course on nation building 101. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of
Absolutely.
Us, that idea, thought process is so far from our brain that we ain't thinking about building a nation. We just, I need a job so I can make some money. So for one, our institutions, our learning institutions, have to center the curriculum around nation building. That's first step. So then two, there needs to be a level of breakdown on, okay, in order to build a nation, what are those primary institutions that you need, and what does a nation's infrastructure need? We're talking about for us. So infrastructure and institutions are two different things. So we need to understand, okay, these institutions, well, family is that cornerstone institution.
Right.
From there, that in those families, you know, to help develop these different vocations, okay? Families need clothes, they need food, they need shelter. Now these help to develop your vocation, you know, so, and building your infrastructure, like, okay, we need water services, we need a power source. What's going to power our electronic devices or whatever? That's dealing with your solar technology or STEM and all those type of things. So, you know, our schools, our institutions really have to be serious about nation building. You know, this ain't let's dress up and play Africa. No, we talking about building a nation, we got to get serious. It's bigger than knowing what the continent looked like. We talking about being a nation. Like, we talking about building a nation. If we got a land mass that's full of trees, how are we going to clear it off? Where we know where to drill to get water from? How can we pump the water in to go into everybody's house that needs water? How do we build a grid to set it up to everybody can have power to power their homes? These are the type of things that we have to get serious and think about for ourselves. So,
absolutely.
Yes, vocation
absolutely.
Is definitely on the table, yes. Hopefully, I ain't saying too much.
Yeah, I mean, going off of that, man, it starts with us. It starts at home. So, like you said, for us to want to and try to build that, we got to want to. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to be on one accord on, you know, how to do that or even try to get the skill to do that. You know, but
absolutely.
It definitely starts in the heart of the household. You know, like if your children going to public schools, you got to be able to teach them and give them an understanding of who they are. You can't just send them to the school because you already know what you're getting, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, brothers. You know, I'm having a great time listening to you because I agree with everything you're saying, and those are the issues and the planning that goes on in the various ministries and in our work study and training groups that we have across the country. My last question. There's a lot of activity around in various sectors around the country and our different nationalist New African organizations about the topic of reparations. So I want to remind us all that not only did we build this country for 357 years, we built it without those power machines that you're talking about to break down the trees. We did it without the power drills. We did it without those big cranes that they had, that they have now, all these modern technological advances. We built this country from blood, sweat, tears, and oftentimes death. And we did it for a very, very long time. And in that process, of course, we started trying to make our work easier, and a lot of times our inventions or our contraptions were stolen. So what do you think about the idea of reparations for New Africans?
I go ahead. I think definitely this government of the United States owes us, as well as the government of Spain and Great Britain, and you know, it's all down the line. Like all of these, they owe us big time. I also think that There's a level of self reparations that we need to administer. We got some self work that we need to do. I think that there needs to be a strong push in our youth to get involved in the reparations fight. I really think we got if. And I say that because our youth are like it's like a powder keg that's ready to explode, and they are full of energy but don't know where to direct the energy.
If we
can get to the minds of our youth to just get them on board with just something like this. I mean, our identity is definitely important. If they understand this is owed to us, they owe us this for sure. Ain't no doubt about it. And they get involved and use their social media and voice and you know, they get to cutting up in school about this type of stuff. Like, it's going to be some mayhem. So I definitely think that reparations is something worth fighting for. You know, we need to find some, you know, I know there's been this fight going on for quite some time. I think we just need to figure out better ways to get the youngest amongst us who can understand better involved in this.
I
think we can, yeah, so. They got a voice. They got a major voice. It's just, if they don't know the issues, if they don't really understand what's going on or know what's going on, you know, they got so many of us trapped on jobs and working to just
yep.
make it every day, and then yep. they're going to keep them distracted with games and nonsense all day. You know what I'm saying? So folks is getting off work talking about, hey, man, we got to fight for rep. The youth got more time and energy. If they know about this, I mean, this thing can blow very fast. They know how to make stuff viral, go viral very fast. You know what I'm saying? So we really, I think there needs to be some concentrated effort into getting our children
more informed about the reparations fight. So
that's going to have to be a process to how to allocate the reparations and what to use it for and how to use it. And, you know, as well as the understanding of the reparations, you know, we can't, you know, we can't give us reparations and then we invest back in their stuff. If you're talking about as far as like money goes, you know, like it's going to have to be some education on, you know, what to do with it.
Right. Yeah, that's that self-reparations I was saying that, you know, repairing ourselves is helping to repair our spirit, our mind, to be prepared to know what to do with the monetary or any type of thing like this. You know, to me, reparations would need to encompass more than money, though.
Yeah, it would.
Oh, absolutely.
Some stuff that we owe can't be paid back in money.
No.
So I'm going to leave that at that. So. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, brothers, because if you have read our reparations claim from the Republic of New Africa, it addresses families, it addresses the five states in the South, and rebuilding our institutions like they did with the Marshall Plan after World War II. We're talking about every sector of our society that has been affected. And as you said, through the Ministry of Health and Society, we always saying that we have to start on ourselves because remember, we've been beaten, we've been sodomized, we've been impregnated, we have been propagandized since day one, spiritually, mentally, physically, psychologically, into a Eurocentric paradigm. We are the children of these slave masters, but there's a sliver of resistance within us, and some people will never, ever, ever manifest that resistance effort. And at the same time, we're all catching hell, but some of us are bowing down, some of us are ignoring it and turning our heads the other way, and some of us are just living that life where we have to continue this movement. So reparations for us is going to have a monetary component. It's going to have establishing our institutions, rebuilding it, and it still means money. It also means taking the five states in the South, because that's what we've asked, to repair the damage from everything that you've taken from us, family mm-hmm. units, our culture, our language, even the foods that we eat. And then we have been exposed to spiritual genocide, medical genocide, food genocide. It goes on and on because, remember, we're in a system that has been designed to make sure that we never rise and shine, ever, 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 ever.
A capitalistic system.
So this is what we have to try to teach our children and the people who are our peers, because everybody wants. What you think's going to happen? Everybody get $20,000 like the Japanese. That money's going to go right back to the system when we want to use that money to build our wealth, to build something for us. And we're not talking about a one-time thing. The state of Israel has been receiving billions of dollars from the United States government since when?
41, 44, something like that.
Yeah.
They're getting these business annually.
Yes.
Yeah, annually.
So we have, yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying they're getting this annually too.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to get it annually because we built this country and the world. We're not taking... at this particular point, we know that John Conyers with H.R. 40, I believe, he's had that in for how many years now, 30, 40 years? And they're still playing us. Thank you. They're still playing us. So as Malcolm says, this goes beyond civil suits. It goes to a human right perspective, a world perspective, an international pan-African perspective, because we want to tie our reparations with the reparations that the Caribbean deserves, the reparations that the continent deserves. You understand me? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Continue.
So that's absolutely, absolutely. So my last question before, I know I've taken up y'all's time, I'm sorry. We consider the music that you're putting out, we call it melanin music. We call it liberation music, as you've already defined, because it's a form of what we feel is propaganda, meaning you're trying to transform a mindset. You know, we're very, very rhythmically inclined people. We resonate with all instruments, but it's when the instruments and the words are dysfunctional. Because, you know, everybody got a beat. Everybody wants that, you know, that heartbeat. But when the words are degrading, demeaning, destructive, it's a verification that this system of racism and white supremacy has turned us against one another. And so I congratulate you, and I tell you to keep encouraging the youth to make their music. Nobody's talking about that. Hip-hop at its beginnings and its roots, you know, had its function. But the hip-hop that I have to go to the club and see women turn up and there's sexing going on and disrespect, that's not the hip-hop that we're interested in the new nation. In the new nation, understand what I mean?
True indeed.
At the end of the day, so I want to congratulate.
Propaganda.
It is.
They push their propaganda all the time. You know, media is their biggest weapon. Billboards, cartoons, comics, commercials. It's a 24/7 machine. So you got to utilize our music, our media, our art. The same way it was like utilized with the Harlem Renaissance, in the same notion where they get it all the time, but we got to see it.
You know, this is thanks to the brother Bomani for allowing us to come on to the platform. You know, I was just telling the brother, I said, man, like they are saturating our people with this stuff 24/7. I said, we got to do the same thing with what we got. We got to find a way, you know what I'm saying, and connect with other artists that's doing the same thing. I said we have to. It's a movement. Like individuals ain't gonna get it. We got to spread our efforts. So you know, we can strike a more powerful blow doing that. So
absolutely, no, you brothers, you just right on, as I say, right in sync. You know how they say one mission. Because we've already spoken about that through Minister Bomani's ministry, and all of his, you know, deputy ministers. That ministry of information is critical. We literally have to establish a new African, music industry, a new African book publishing, new African movies, videos. Yeah. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And ultimately, we have to have our own, internet server, whatever that looks like. So it goes on and on and on. So I'm in total agreement. And thank you so much, brothers, brother warriors. I yield, Bomani.
Okay. True indeed. I just want to thank our brothers for the work y'all are doing, you know, and the courage to actually promote positivity through your music, because especially when the time is not actually popular, right? You know, that's very commendable in regard to your service to the people, you know. And also, again, I want to thank you for coming to that broadcast, you know, to show you what I understand, and thank you for what you can do to prepare prison in the future, right? And at this time, I want y'all to give us your final thoughts. If you want to leave us some content information, we'll leave us just an internet, a website, or want to leave with a quote or saying, whatever it is, just leave, give us your final thought, what you want to leave us with.
Man, I just want to thank you, brother, for allowing us on this platform and just giving us a voice, man, because it's we're going to need a lot of these, you know what I'm saying, to get, you know, the music out, to get the word out, you know, and vice versa. You know, said it's all about making those connections because those connections are needed in, you know, in the battle we're against. Well, thank you once again, brother, for, you know, allowing us to speak.
No doubt, brother. Ain't no problem.
You know, I'll just say, man, again, brother, appreciate you for all the work you've been doing, man. We didn't kind of inbox back and forth a few times, man, and I just been checking out the work that you've been doing, man. We're pushing. Pushing the line forward for our people, man. Like you said, this not a line that everybody push. And then we also got so many of our people who, you know, like to say play dress up. You know what I'm saying? And just talk about stuff like this, but they ain't doing no work. You know what I'm saying? So. I've always considered myself a worker. I could recognize that within myself by 7-8 years old. I knew that I was a worker. One day I think my dad told us to go outside and rake some leaves. And it was me, my brother, and a couple other youngsters. And I looked up, and I'm just raking away, and I stopped, and I looked around me. And they were just watching me work. From that point on, I knew that I was a worker. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mind extending myself to do my part. I'm going to do that. You know what I'm saying? And so I definitely appreciate the work that you do, brother.
No doubt. Appreciate it, brother.
Pushing, bro. Any way we can help you with your platform, man, we here, bro. So,
I appreciate y'all, brother.
No doubt.
I appreciate it, man. You know, it would be a pleasure that y'all brother attend the Affirmation Day, man, and give us some kind of performance, man. Like Mama Ayo said, the melody music, it would be a pleasure, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to work to make it happen, man.
True indeed, man. You know, for people who are listening, the new Affirmation Day take place March 31st, April 2nd through at Charleston, South Carolina. You can find out more about it on the website, which is www.pg-rna.com. You also can find about it on the Real Public Afro Radio, Pigeon Public Afro Radio Show, which is on Blog Talk. Also through the social media handles are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and also through my page. Boo Money here with Jahad Shakir on Facebook and Instagram as well. You know, and also that you can check out Georgia University Radio on Blog Talk Radio. You also can check our website, which is www.georgia-university.gdu.com. Again, it's www.georgia-university-gdu.com. You know, and if you're in the John Clark Town, which is Missinoma, Columbia, Georgia, local area, you find out more about the Peace Party for Independence on our social media page, which is Instagram and Facebook, Peace Party for Independence, and also learn about some of our events coming up, such as your Unite and Fight Investment Seminar Summit, April the 15th, our Community Baby Shower, April the 1st, and other events that we'll be having as well. I'm going to say Law and Resistance, Law and African Independent Movement, Free Our Catch New African Political Prison, and Long Little Gorilla, Free the Land.
Free the Land, Free the Land, Free the Land.
Vitamin necessary.